This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's time for Tech Talk, and it's Thursday. And with me, as usual, is Karamjit Singh, founder, CEO, and for a breath of fresh air, A. Asohan, executive editor from Digital News Asia.
Well, nobody has ever called me that.
Next to Karamjit. Anyway, there was a blackout on Tuesday, August 14th, in order to create awareness about the Section 114A of the Evidence Act. So, you know, that's gone. What now after the blackout, brown cows?
Brownout, yeah, that's for power. So this was us one, you can kick
so
the floor.
So first, it wasn't actually a blackout.
Yeah.
Most of the participating websites and bloggers and individuals, what they did was to have a big message pop up. Although some went that extra mile and decided to shutter their websites, mostly on from
early raya break,
mostly from the opposition parties. So they kind of over fixated on the term blackout. Yeah.
So you guys did something as well.
Yeah, so we had the pop out. Yeah, so it was great to see all sorts of websites get involved.
Yeah.
What now? I think this was a very clear message to the government that there are many people who are very concerned about the ramifications of this amendment.
Correct.
It's also a very clear message that we need to be more inclusive when we come out with legislation that affects, in this case, I mean, all of Malaysia, every Malaysian, every internet-related business, everyone who serves, everyone who provides the services, networking services, internet access services, and anyone who posts content on it.
So. Right. And I know you attended a meeting of sorts last week. What was the discussion?
On Saturday.
Yeah. So this was organized by the Center of Independent Journalism, which has really been spearheading.
Yeah. Kudos to them, man.
They've been doing a great job of it. The Malaysian Bar Council and the National Young Lawyers Committee. They had a forum, and that's when Deputy Minister of Higher Education, Dato' Saifuddin Abdullah, declared that he will be rallying other MPs from Barisan who feel the same way he does. And that is great concern about this amendment. Of course, Khairi Jamaluddin, UMNO youth chief, has gone on record as well to ask for a review. And just a couple of days ago during the blackout day, we had an MCA senator as well saying. So even politicians on Barisan side are concerned. So what next now is, I think lines of communication have been open between CIJA and some of these Barisan MPs. I think they should work together, involve the rest of the Malaysia's internet community, come up with, and in fact, this was the suggestion made by Dato' Saifuddin and one of the Bar Council members, K. Shanmuga, come up with alternative legislation that actually addresses what this amendment is supposed to.
Okay, now what are the odds of a law that's just been passed and put into action being overturned in a matter of a few months? And I know you also with this, you know, something that happened so quickly, right?
Yes.
How can that happen?
Yeah, well, okay. First is the process for revoking a law. Well, you know, it has been done before. I'm not a constitutional expert, but I do know it has been done before. I can't remember about which one. There have been other laws that have been passed but not gazetted, like the recent amendments to the Election Act and all, which were revoked in the last minute. So it can be done. I mean, you know, that's the fact of why we have a parliament. They make laws. They can also revoke laws that are outdated. They can repeal it. It will take a few months. It is not an issue of how long it takes to come up with alternative legislation that's more acceptable, because until, I mean, actually it is an issue on the civil's defamation side. In terms of criminal definition, just the thing about the Evidence Act is it covers both civil and criminal cases, right? So criminal cases, all the authorities have to do is not use that law, right? That's not going to stop anyone else from suing anyone else in the meantime. But, you know, the law, the judicial process here does take its time anyway.
Yes.
So it can be done. And talking about the legislative making process in this country, it's deeply flawed. why did you need to have to pass this legislation in such a hurry? Yeah. It's just a matter of months. The debate of this took only a few hours. I mean, it's like everyone got it on their tables at 10 o'clock in the morning, and by 4 o'clock, it's law.
Okay.
You know, it's ridiculous. Why? It's not an urgent matter. There have been cases in other countries where laws, such legislation is passed in a hurry. That's usually when a country is going to war and need to release funds.
I see. I wonder if there's a war going on.
Obviously.
Well, there is a cyber war going on.
What if there was a war but nobody turned up, you know, because the rest of us don't know there's a war going on.
There you go.
Okay.
No, but I think there are also enough existing legislations, right? Right. Like Citizen Nadesh got nailed for 200,000, right? Defamation. Mm. So they already, the other point made is there's enough legislation. And in the news we just heard, right, about that other blogger asking for a stay. So there's already enough stuff out there. When you rush through things like this, people are just suspicious that there's an alternative, you know.
Yeah,
there's an ulterior motive behind that. And then if there's none and you are just clumsy, you've just shot yourself in both feet and your kneecaps too. You know, just silly, right?
But it's still
people
a way.
People don't want silly government anymore. You know, you can have Mr. Bean can be silly by all means, you know. Pua Chu Kang can be, but sure as heck not our government.
All right. Now, what can with citizens, do we take the foot off our pedal? You know,
no,
our prime
don't.
Minister.
Hey,
absolutely
don't.
Not. Yeah. You, Frida, do not take, you know, the foot off your 4.5-inch, you know, leopard stripe pumps that you're wearing now.
What can we do?
Write to your representatives.
Yeah.
I mean, they,
which is an alien concept in this country at the moment.
Go
right?
there, so, bug them. Make sure your MPs. This was voted. Find out who the MP, whether you what your MP voted. Ask him or her to justify his decision. Mm. They are accountable to us. You know, they still haven't got it into their minds yet.
We got to hammer it in. Absolutely.
Okay, so what's the worst case scenario here now? Let's draw some. Oh,
some 90-year-old grandmother who posted something is going to get sued because somebody else didn't like her, and she will have to muster a defense, pay all that money.
Yeah. Worst case.
Another worst case scenario is that you've opened up the doors for all sorts of corporate sabotage.
Mm.
You know, if that Kopitiam competitor across this thing is proving too much of a competition, I can do things.
Yeah.
See, this law is supposed to address the issue of anonymity and the use of pseudonyms, but it's actually doing the opposite. It's encouraging it. Why would you now want to put your name on anything that you can be sued for?
Yeah.
And even if it's a frivolous suit, you are still going to be dragged in court. Mm. You are still going to have to spend the money to muster up a defense.
So if you put you know, like how you with Digital News Asia, there are comments there, someone made a comment, you guys are held responsible.
No, it's Aswan. We agreed on that. Instead of going by
I'll go to jail.
You go alphabetically, so it's double A.
I'll be the prisoner of conscience for the online world.
No,
but first, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what we have right now. In fact, the existing laws that we have in this country already make me as liable for anything we publish.
Right.
We have. It's the same reason why many years ago Malaysia Kini was raided and all their PCs seized because of an allegedly seditious comment made.
Yeah.
So they were. Now, that went through the whole legal process as well, you know. But the thing is, there are laws that you can
already in place.
Yes, there are already laws in place. What this is, what this amendment does is that it removes the evidentiary burden. It's a shortcut. It produces a shortcut that can be so abused.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I just don't like you and that's it.
Yes. And, you know, it doesn't matter if at the end of a long process you are found innocent. You've still gone through all that.
Yeah.
Right.
Hassle for a few months of your life. If it's a criminal case, you're going to be handcuffed and taken to the police station. They're going to interrogate you, and they don't need to have the burden of proof anymore.
It'd make a nice photo though, Karamjit, you in handcuffs.
No. We already say it's double A, Aswan.
I've offered myself. That's why I'm wearing black today.
And in this moment, we'll talk about why journalists are so stressed.
Before this, I need to say that the amazing thing about this article was that, you know, the article that we wrote got so much of support from readers and from the public out there. And I think this could be a record, but the first article Aswan wrote to say that the law had steadily, you know, stealthily, you know, come into force, had over 1,000 likes, you know, which I've not seen any article yet, you know, online in this country that has that. So
plug it.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's thrilling, you know, and it's brilliant. So we're excited, you know, for Aswan. We're excited about DNA. We're excited for the community out there, you know, to show their passion and their concern for this. And also, when you talk about comments, right, we've been getting some amazing comments on DNA. And this is a shout out to Andrew Wong, you know, from Mad Incubator.
Right.
Because he's obviously, you know, living up to the definition, the acronym of his incubator. Because he sent in a comment to an article that was longer than the article itself. So we're going to now come up with a new rule, you know, that say that no comments can be longer than the article that triggered those comments. And we may call it...
Karam can come up with all the rules, but I'm the one who implement. I say, go ahead, guys.
And we're going to call it the Andrew Wong rule, man.
You did an Andrew.
Yeah, you did an Andrew.
And, you know, that could be defamation. Now, in just a moment, we'll talk about why journalists are so special. Tech Talk, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, it's Tech Talk. It's about journalists. And I'm here with Karamjit Singh, founder CEO, together with A. Aswan, executive editor from digitalnewsasia.com. And earlier on, we spoke about the Stop 114A internet blackout aftermath, seeing that there might be an impending war. Moving along to your next story, journalists, why are they or us so special?
Yeah, no, I think this is a story just from last week, and it is from event that Cellcom had and introducing a tablet from Huawei. And what really annoyed me and dismayed me, and I thought it was disrespectful of the profession, was the fact that they said any media who attends will be entitled to buy this tablet at a special, you know, price of 99 ringgit. And then I just quickly went on Amazon, and the tablet there, if you convert it, is 1,300 something ringgit, you know. Mm. So I just thought that was totally disrespectful of the profession, that they, and of course some people then used the word, the B word, right? And said that it's really a bribe, and so it just disturbed me. Yeah, and I don't think it's another word. Yeah. So, but you know,
The C word.
C word.
Corruption. Where was your mind, Frida?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. So, but it's just unsavory, and really left a bad taste in my mouth. And discounts are part and parcel of the media landscape. But I think we at DNA just want to take it to a different level and say, you know, we shouldn't tolerate this. And somebody made the comment that they feel that the discounts are much more prevalent in the tech space, especially when people are always reviewing products, right? Which never struck me before, but which means there's a higher onus on us to say, you know, we won't do this. So I think everybody who writes a product review should have an ethical statement there to say that, you know, if you're taking a discount from the manufacturer or whatever, right, or the brand owner, declare that. But say, hey, but this discount doesn't color my judgment. And let your readers, you know, judge for themselves whether they believe that. Okay. So but I sent a letter. I then asked Cellcom and Huawei about why they did that. And then they've both come back with short responses, which I'll run in the follow-up tomorrow. So you can read about it tomorrow, their reasons for, you know, for doing that. But it just sets a very slippery and downward slope. Because can you imagine the likes of Maxis and Digi and you know, Yes and U-Mobile saying, oh, shoot, man, this is what we got to do. The media may expect it now.
Okay.
So, but then we journalists also don't do ourselves justice by, you know, a lot of times asking for us one.
In fact, I don't blame companies for trying this, right? It's PR, it's marketing, they want to spend money.
We have both been on the other side. Yeah. That was my history.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. For me, the onus is on the media to say no. I mean, so whether this company wants to do it, you know, it's up to them. Then we go there. If they hold a lucky draw, like, you know, Karam, Edwin and I, the three fellas at DNA, have different layers, levels of what we think is unethical and all that. We do agree, we ourselves are not going to take any media prices for any products we buy. That certain door gives beyond a certain value, we just should refuse them, right? So you give us a pen and a note, old-fashioned analog notebook. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah. That kind of notebook. Yeah. But you disagree with lucky draws even.
Yeah, I think okay, for us, it's because, I mean, if the lucky draws are, I think there's an event going on in today or tomorrow.
Yeah, no need to name the company.
Yeah, where they are going to give lucky draws, but it's only for the media. And I said, you know, that's also not right, especially if it's expensive, right? Yeah. And if there are 5 or 10 people, you know, covering it. So it's just not right. And even more so for us, because now we own, you know, our media property, right? The other journalists who go may think it's okay because they're salaried employees, right? So we own our product, and I said, we have to set the bar high for ourselves, at least when it comes to this lucky draw stuff. But for the rest of it, you know, like that 99 ringgit thing is just no go la. And the industry should, you know, at least the tech journalists should say, you know, we should do something better.
Are journalists well paid though?
No, of course not.
No, but you know, Frida, that's not an excuse. Then the cop can say the same thing, right? The civil servant, everybody.
Very
and that's
good point.
Totally, totally irrelevant. No, then don't get into those professions where you know it's lowly paid. Okay. So absolutely not. We cannot go down that path, Frida. I'm going
to
take off your pumps and hit you with them afterwards, okay?
Leopard print pumps.
Yes, leopard print pumps.
You know, the thing is, okay, I mean, having been on the other side as well, you know, I mean...
You mean the other side, meaning you were with a company and you were running PR.
Okay. You know, we were also, and when the company still had PCs, you know, we did give a 25% discount if they wanted to. And the thing is, like, usually we get calls from them asking if they could give, you know, and we'll say some, you know, we don't say it out loud.
That meaning journalists are, will ask you, yeah.
Journalists are requesting media prices, you see. So if you're in a company, are you going to piss off the journalists?
Yeah.
You know, have to do something. Or either that, or you make it a policy of never giving media prices, which some companies do.
And I think also that people will respect that and they'll stop asking as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know? They will. And the readers need to know that too. If they're reading a piece from someone who has taken a discount, you know, from the company he has covered, they should at least declare that then.
Yeah, just thinking about, you know, all these years and as well, you know, I guess most of the companies that I've worked for or worked with in the PR consultancy never really did anything that majorly. You know, they'll give little things, but not the most would be trips, you know, where we take them to cover an event. And that's about it.
And, I disagree with Karam on another point, that tech journalists are most spoiled. Oh, go and check out the lifestyle, travel, you know, I mean, when tech companies, and I put this
once
in quotation marks, send reporters to cover an overseas assignment, it's not a junket, it's a full-blown assignment. They'll have
work
you in for 3 days of
yes.
PCs and meetings and conferences and workshops and all. But let's say an airline opens up a new destination and flies journalists there.
Yeah.
You go there, it's a six-hour flight. You stay at these exclusive hotels. You carry out one interview, 4 or 5 day holiday, and you come back and write one story.
That's work.
Yeah.
Yes. And it is work. You know, you don't mind. It is work. It is part of their beat, right?
I love it.
So you know, it's very hard to draw hard lines. I can do it for myself, right? In DNA, we are more or less agreed. I mean, we may have different
degrees. And I think once your organization gets bigger, these needs to be standard.
Yes, then we need to have a policy, clear-cut policy in paper, which actually Karam has already drafted months before we launched.
We have an ethical statement called, you know, Straight North, but we will probably put that online maybe next week or something. All of us want to review that again. Okay. It's very important, right? If you want to be critical of things, you got to... But in my commentary, I also said that I've been guilty of, you know, taking things before. You know, I've taken free phones before, but...
It's just never. Not,
right? Yeah, brilliant. That's why, you know, that's why you're the executive editor. Oh, that's why you're pushing me.
So, someone tweeted, and I just see DC here, said, guys from DNA are cool. Well done.
Yeah, true.
Must be your friend.
Yeah, must be la.
Okay, what else?
The check is in the mail.
What else is happening in the tech ecosystem?
Okay, ecosystem. Very quickly, there's a couple of things because
that'll be a first by for Karam anyway.
No, I think first we talk about this week. Yesterday, MDEC had an interesting event which talks about their InfoTech cluster. InfoTech cluster is they've got their companies, MSC companies, into three main clusters. One is the global sourcing, outsourcing shared services companies. The other one is the creative multimedia content players. And this is the all-encompassing IT players, right? Software, hardware, you know, ERP, CRM and all that. All those, you know, super cool acronyms there that you see everybody wearing T-shirts of. So this is under Infotech cluster. Now, Dinesh Nair heads this cluster, but Balisham was also there. Mm-hmm. And they were just talking about the success of this cluster, because I think this cluster had 48% of the 31 billion revenue that MSE companies earned last year. And they wanted to highlight that what they're doing with this cluster now is, so is that they're coming, they have come up, not they are, they're already implementing it, something called the stack approach, which is where if you go and see a customer and you find out the customer's problems, one company will be the lead company going in, and that company will realize, oh, okay, AirAsia, right? They need a CRM and they need a contact center solution.
For example.
Yeah, for example.
Actually, AirAsia is one of the
companies. Okay. Yeah. And you know, they need hospitality, you know, a loyalty, you know, a product too. So this company may be doing, right? And then they don't have the rest of the solutions. So they partner with other MSE companies. So then AirAsia people are talking to one guy, but he's got, you know, a suite of 4 or 5 solutions. So it's called vertical, right? So it just goes straight down. And it,
can I ask my boss a hard question?
I'm not your boss, like, my colleagues, like, please.
Okay.
Please.
My founder. So how is this any different from whole contractor, subcontractor regime that seems to be affecting all our business transactions in this country? One big company does it and then subcontracts. Yes.
Okay, but this, because this now is with MSE companies, MDEC is doing it with their own companies, because MDEC's role and, you know, they live, breathe and sleep is to help MSE companies, you know, go global. So, and then Sham said this solution strategy of theirs addresses two problems, which is one, when they take companies even locally for try to get in the door, the CIOs or the buyers, right, will say, we don't want to see 50 companies or 100 companies, you know. So this is a natural filter that MDEC is working on. And even worse, when you go overseas, the people there don't have, you know, time to see so many companies. And the other thing they say, but your companies are so small. So that thing about giving business to smaller companies, right? So with this stacking approach, you've got one parent, right? And the rest who have solutions that meet the customer's needs. And Sham said something interesting. When you do this approach, it leads to more intelligent conversations, you know, with the customers. Because you already know their pain point, and these are the things now we have to offer to address your pain point. So it's no more the classic, eh, buy la, can la.
Can la.
You know, so much more intelligent conversation. And also now interesting, they said, Dijan, and probably our companies are, surprise, more competitive and better able to, you know, meet customer solutions in this region too than companies, you know, from the rest of the world. So Faber, credit to Faber, to Celcom, to AirAsia and to Mara, which are the first four companies which have already implemented solutions, you know, that are using this
built
approach and supporting, you know, MSE companies. So that's brilliant for them.
Okay.
More to come.
Right. And Karajit... finished.
Not yet. I go Ganesh.
Very quickly.
Ganesh Banga, MOL. Okay, she's going to cut me off, Ganesh. It's not my fault. We'll talk about Ganesh and the fact that he has created a publishing platform for game publishers that has taken so many Malaysian companies around the region, which is the great impact. When you have one company that grows and becomes strong, a lot more people can ride on them. And this is a very good story. You can read part one of it, which is already on DNA. I'll talk a little bit about this next week, because it's a great story. It shows why it's
he
important.
He wrote it. That's why it's
no,
a great story.
No way, not at all. I just happened to meet Ganesh. You know? It's a good story.
Karamjit Singh, and hopefully A.R. Sohad as well next week. News Asia, Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.